In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Today in the church, we remember and we celebrate the holy prophet Jonah. Now, for most people, when you ask about Jonah, everyone remembers him getting swallowed up by the whale. The Greek word here is katos, which can mean whale, can mean great fish, sea creature. I'm just going to say whale. Anyway, most people remember Jonah getting swallowed by the whale. But do we remember why he got swallowed, how it came to be? It all starts with the fact that there were people in the world that Jonah could not stand. We have to remember that's where our story starts. There were people Jonah couldn't stand. Some of those people were Ninevites from the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a big city, about 120,000 people, which was huge for those days. Now, Nineveh was a rough and corrupt place. And God told Jonah that he was going to destroy the city in 40 days because of their sin. And Jonah was pretty happy to hear that. God was going to destroy the people Jonah couldn't stand. Now we're talking. But then God says the unthinkable. God says, Jonah, I'm going to give them a second chance. And if they repent, I'll spare them. And, drum roll, I want you to be the one to go tell them how to get spared. I want you to be the one to tell them their path to salvation. So you can see Jonah's thought process. If these foreigners don't repent, they'll be destroyed. And if I don't go to them, they won't repent. And because Jonah has no compassion for his enemies, instead of going to Nineveh, he gets on a ship heading out to Tarshish, the opposite direction. You can see what he's thinking. By the time I get off this ship, spend some time in Tarshish, the 40 days will be over and Nineveh will be toast. But I hope you can also see the flaw in his thinking, trying to run away from God. So God sends a storm, and the tiny ship is tossed by the sea. Jonah reveals that it's on his account that the ship is in danger, and they toss Jonah overboard. And God doesn't want Jonah to perish either, so he sends a whale to swallow him up, and Jonah is in the belly of the whale 3 days. It's horrible. It's like being buried alive. Jonah prays that he's in the pit of Hades, the pit of death in there. I can't imagine the stench. It's got to be like a living death. And finally, on the third day, the whale spits Jonah on the shore, and God says, "Now, Jonah, I have a job for you. Go to Nineveh and tell them the path to salvation. Tell them the way to repentance and that they have 40 days to do it." And this time Jonah does it. Grudgingly, we'll find out, but he still does it. But it also means God hadn't started the clock yet on their destruction. They'd have the 40 days from the time of the warning, not from the time God first contacted Jonah. God is absolutely going to give them a fair chance. And when Jonah does tell them to repent, they do it, and they repent immediately. The Ninevites pray, they fast, they wear sackcloth, and most importantly, they turn from their sinful ways. They immediately turn from their sinful ways, and God spares them. Now, knowing God, God wasn't out to destroy them in the first place. God loves the Ninevites. He knew they'd repent and that they would not, in the end, be destroyed. But the warning is what got them to act. And the first lesson to us is we're the Ninevites. God wants to save us, even though we're mired in our own sin, even though we head to our own destruction that our sin results in. The 40-day warning represents this life, the time for us to bear the fruits of the Spirit is now. It's now. Now, the Ninevites, they didn't even wait the 40 days. They repented immediately, and it's said in our gospel that Jesus holds them up as a standard because they repented. And he says, "Will you repent as quickly?" They are a sign for us to repent while we still have the chance because we don't know how long this 40-day life of ours really is going to end up. A second lesson is from Jonah's perspective. Our enemies, our adversaries, the people we can't stand are worth saving. They are worthy of our love, and they should be worth loving in our own eyes, if nothing else, because they are worth loving in God's eyes. The third, and the perhaps the most important lesson, is how Jonah prefigures Jesus Christ. In our gospel today, Jesus says Jonah was a sign. He was a foreshadowing of Christ himself. Jonah's 3-day captivity in the belly of the whale was a sign of Christ's death and burial. And when Jonah comes forth from the beast on the third day, it's a sign of Christ's resurrection. And as Jonah brought salvation to the Ninevites, Jesus brings salvation to the whole world. And that is a lesson Jonah himself needed to really hear, and the lesson we really need to hear. It's not just with our ears, but we need to hear it with our heart, that ka-chunk where the lesson really sinks down. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was the ultimate act of love for all mankind, including God's own enemies, whom he loves as deeply as his own children. Now, there's an interesting end to the story of Jonah that we haven't gotten to yet. After Jonah, grudgingly, because after all that, he's still not on board with saving these people he can't stand. After Jonah grudgingly tells the city of Nineveh to repent, he goes outside of the city and sits on a hill and watches to see if God's still going to destroy them. Even after all he's been through, Jonah is still watching and hoping to see Nineveh destroyed. He did it grudgingly, and he still wants to see his enemy ended. And as he's sitting there in the sun, hot and miserable, God makes this plant grow to give Jonah some shade. And the next day, God destroys the plant that has given Jonah the shade and lets Jonah swelter in the desert sun. And so Jonah ends up all upset that his shade plant had died during the night. And it's at that moment God comes down to Jonah with a question. God says to Jonah, he says, "You have all this compassion. You have all this remorse. You have all this pity for a plant, for a single shade plant. And shouldn't I, the Lord God, have compassion and pity on a city of 120,000 people, not to mention all their animals?" And the story ends. The story ends. We don't hear Jonah's answer. You read it in the book, that's it. It ends with the question. We never find out if Jonah, after all he's been through, finally found compassion for the people he hates. The story ends not with an answer, but with a question. Shouldn't I have equal compassion for the people you can't stand? And the reason we don't get the answer, the reason the story of Jonah ends in a question, is not for Jonah's sake, but it's for our sake. Because the story essentially is saying to us, where is your compassion? Where is your compassion for the other? Where is your compassion for the different? Where is your compassion for the them? That's the question that each one of us must answer for ourselves. Amen.
Amen.